remember that when Jesus left this earth and went on to prepare a place for us in heaven and to intercede on our behalf to our Father, he left us with a very big task. So big, in fact, that we still call that big task the Great Commission. Because Jesus told his disciples and all of his followers, go then and make disciples of all people and teach them everything I have taught you. So you need to go and replicate all of this and help them to get to know me as you did. But in my experience as being a follower of Jesus, it seems like we don't really consider our marching orders to be binding. Because Christians love to wait for something else. Christians love to wait for a calling. That very holy thing that apparently only missionaries and pastors get. So even though God said, all of you, go and do this. All of you go and make disciples. That's our marching orders. Then we sit back and wait for a second nudge. It's kind of like when somebody tells you, they dish up for a nice meal, put the plate in front of you, say, dig in, and then everybody just sits. Nobody eats. Then somebody need to go down. Now, you see, that's a spoon. Take a spoon. Now we know how to eat. You see the ridiculousness of the example? It's pretty much the same, eh? God already told us, go forth and make disciples. But now we need to wait on this holy thing called calling first before we can start doing that, apparently. Now, missionaries and are called to introduce people to Jesus, and then pastors and ministers are called to teach people more about Jesus. So they've got a calling. Now, they are some of the lucky ones. For the rest of the people, they only get the Great Commission. So the rest of all the followers of Jesus, excluding the previous two groups, they just sit around waiting for some audible call from heaven before they get to do something. All the while, they just keep on going on with their daily grind of teaching and bookkeeping and farming and cleaning and selling and put whatever you do as your day job, put that in there. So it seems to work like this. Jesus gave us this great task. He told us, you go and do this. And then we respond by waiting on him to reiterate it in some mysterious or extravagant way. Because we haven't been called yet. Or have we? Maybe we just missed it. So we're going to be reading from Isaiah 43. Why is my slides moving? Is that your slide or my slide? Can you switch back to your feed? Let's try again. Can I switch back to mine? And, sorry about that. Yeah, we might have lift off now. Yeah, Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 7. Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. I will save you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel who saves you. I will give up Egypt to set you free. I will give up Ethiopia and Sheba. I will give up whole nations to save your life, because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. From the distant east and the farthest west, I will bring your people home. I will tell the north to let them go and the south not to hold them back. Let my people return from distant lands, from every part of the world. They are my own people, and I create them to bring me glory. Now, I know for a fact that a lot of Christians, This is one of those go-to passages of Scripture. It serves such a great purpose to remind us that we belong to God, that we are His, that we shouldn't fear. And for these reasons, it has become a very familiar passage. But like I've said oftentimes, the pitfall with familiar passages is that we easily miss something else in those familiar passages. When we use familiar passages of Scripture only for specific occasions, like this one when we are afraid or when we are feeling unwanted or unimportant, we can miss out on the rest. And in this case, we miss out on the fact that we have already received a call from God. Israel, the Lord who created you, says, "Do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Now, unlike specific calls in the Bible and time-specific calls in the Bible and person-specific calls, this one is quite general. It's not styled like, "Listen, Moses, I've called you to set my people free." Or, "Listen, Jonah, go to Nineveh." Or, "Listen, Daniel, go and tell Nebuchadnezzar." Or, "Listen, whoever." This is not person-specific, and it's not time-specific. This one is for Israel, which is all of God's people. And it is literally indicated in the text that it is for all of God's people. It's not a deduction that I am making. Because sometimes we'll do that. We'll read about the call of Jonah to go to Nineveh. And then we will try to find ourselves in that story, in that narrative, to see if we may have a similar type of call for our situation today. This one is very, very literal. I don't need to make a deduction here. You don't need to make a deduction. It's as plain as it gets. I've called you by name. And it's directed to Israel, God's people. For everybody that's part of God's people, for all His children, for every one of them, He says, "You have been called. You have been called." So it follows that everyone has got a calling. Every person that is one of God's children, that have been created by God, that consider them to be part of His people, does in fact have a calling. It's not only missionaries and pastors and ministers that get called. Now somebody might say, "Thank you for sharing the great news, but I still don't have any idea what I've been called for. What should I do now? You said I've got a calling, but for what? Should I move to Africa or some South American country? Should I enroll for studies part-time in theology? What should I do? What's the next step?" Now today, I will tell every person present what you have been called for, you specifically. It might take some time. And I guess that some people that chose not to come today would be quite disappointed when they find out that everyone got their calling identified today. Because today, I will tell every one of you what you have been called for. And almost feel like we should create a sacred mood in some way before I speak this prophetic word. A little bit of music or something. It feels like a very sacred moment. Okay, here it is. God have called you. Where should I start? Who wants to start first? Because I need to start with the person. It's going to take a while. Where should I start? Who's up for this? Anybody? Anybody? Come on, Sean.
Do this. Are you going to start? Sean? Let's do it more sacred. I'm coming. Sean, you have been called by God to be His. To be Sean for Jesus. Now, I can go down the rows, and it's going to be the exact same word. You have been called by God to be you for Him. And you can put your name in there then. I've been called to be Carl for the Lord. I've been called to be Carl for Jesus. That's my calling. And so have you. You have received call from God. You have been called. And you can put your name in there. Whatever your name is. John, you've been called to be John for Jesus. Peter, you have been called to be Peter for Jesus. Mary, you've been called to be Mary for Jesus. I have called you by name. And there's what you've been called for. You are mine. So go and put your name in there. Because God says, I've made you. That's the first part of the verse that we started out with. I have made you, and then I have called you by your own name. I'm not excluding anybody. I'm not excluding you from this. If you are part of my children, if you are part of my people, I have called you to be that very same you, but to be it for me. That's your calling. And by this time you would have heard so many sermons and talks on how God has made each of us unique. I mean, for the last 20 years it's all the buzz, eh? Like, you've been created in a unique way. The self-help books is about how unique you are. So we get that. But God has called you to be that very same unique you for Him. And if you want the numbers, the Gallup Strengths Finder helps us with the numbers. It's like it's an assessment that you do to tell you your top 5 strengths in a specific order. What's your top strength, your second from the top, third? So they develop this assessment, and then they've got the numbers to tell you how it plays out. 1 in 270,000 people has got the same top 5. Strengths or talents that you wish. 1 in 35 million people has got the same 5 strengths in the same order. So that is 1 in 190 people. Or there's 190 people that share that. So you are 1 of 190 people with the same top 5 strengths in the same order. Like, this is your top strength, this is your second strength. Now, add to this, just let's start with the most obvious. Add to this gender. Then you are 1 of 95. Add to this race, maybe split it by 3. Then you are 1 of 30. Add to this your heritage, your background, your personality, your character, your influence, how you grew up, just your location, your culture. And you get to this only one of you. That's research that tells you that you are just so unique. There's only one of you. God said that long ago, but we always want the numbers too before we start believing it, eh? God said that long ago. But the numbers are there. Research have shown that there's only one of you. And God calls you to be you. That very unique you that He created. he planned. And he calls you to be all of that for him. So you keep books for him. You teach for him. You are a cleaner for him. You are a manager for him. You are a farmer for him. You've been called to manage your talent, your aptitude, your preferences, your work, your relationships, your money, your opportunities for him. That's your calling. To be Mary for Jesus in every aspect of your life. To be John for Jesus in every aspect of your life. The call is this, that nothing would be excluded. This is the call, that nothing would be excluded. When it comes to me as a minister, the only difference between me and you is that my talents, my aptitude, my background, my personality and my preferences pointed me in the direction of theology and full-time ministry. If some of that was a bit different, it might have just pointed me in the area of theology and not full-time ministry. So I would have gone into teaching theology. But my package of who I am pointed me in this direction. The difference between you and a missionary in Central Africa may be his love for adventure and his love for the Chichewa people of Malawi and the feeling he gets of being fully alive, feeling close to God and nature in that tropical climate. The same that Malawi has got. It is there in those type of circumstances that he gets to live out his calling of being John for Jesus. The best. Put that same missionary in an inner city mission in Calgary. I guess he would feel like he's missing his calling. Even though he's still a missionary, but that's what's not how God called him to be John for Jesus. God has created you now in a wonderful way. The Bible teaches this. And then God was on this journey with you all through your life, and he molded you since childhood, and he blessed you with a good lot of talents in a unique combination, and then he called you to be you for him. And the great big advantage of this is that there is no best before date on this call. There's no expiry date on God's call, if you see it like this, the way it actually is. There's no expiry date to it on this call. When you retire, your call hasn't run its course. Your call is to be Peter for Jesus, even when retired. It's just the location of your call might have changed. The place where you're going to live it out. Even when you move to a retirement home, your call doesn't expire. You need to be Peter for Jesus in a retirement home. If you haven't started work yet, if you are just a student, that doesn't mean your call haven't started yet. You've been called to be a student for Jesus. If you are still in school, in high school or primary school, it's not that your call haven't started yet. You have been called to be a primary school student for Jesus. Use so many examples here. Whichever phase of life you are in, that isn't excluded from your call, because you've been called by God to be you in that phase of your life. So God has created you in a wonderful way. We know that. There's passages that we love about this. Then God was on this journey with you all through your life, molding you since childhood, blessing you with all your talents in this unique combination thing that is left is to either accept God's call or refuse His call. And there's only the two options. Accept God's call or refuse His call. There's nothing else to it. It's not complicated. You have been called by God. There's one of two things you can do with it.